Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome back, folks. We are now joined by Sean Higgins, Competitive Enterprise Institute Research Fellow. Sean, welcome to the show.
Hello. Good afternoon, New Orleans.
So, Sean, we've been talking here this past week, you know, over the past several days about these numbers in anticipation of them coming out and understanding that because of the government shutdown, the reports have been delayed. They were released yesterday morning, I believe. What does it reveal? It seems like there's a lot of competing forces, and what can we glean from this report?
Well, the top line numbers were marginally good, 64,000 jobs beating most estimations, which were around 45,000. But that's down from where we were earlier in the year, and there's a lot of other sort of worrying data related to that. The October had a loss of 105,000 jobs. The numbers for August and September were revised downwards by 33,000 jobs. And the thing that really stood out to me as I looked at it was that the number of people who only working part-time for economic reasons, that is, the people who want full-time jobs but can't find them, was up 909,000 from September, almost a million people. And that's worrying, because what it suggests is that a lot of employers are cutting back on hours.
I apologize for interrupting, but expound on that for our listening audience.
What it suggests is that employers are cutting back on hours. One of the things that a lot of employers do when they're faced with a situation where they've got to cut costs and they're trying to look at labor costs, but they don't want the negative publicity of layoffs. And also they don't want to lose people, because it is hard to find good people and rehire them once you've let them go, is that they'll simply reduce the number of hours that they work. The average work week in America isn't 40 hours. It's actually 34, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And what we're seeing is a lot of employers are cutting back even more on that. So that what they're showing is that there is a fair amount of weakness in the employment area. They're trying to hold off from doing the worst part about it, which is just letting people go. But employers are cutting back quite a bit.
And as we look, is there any particular region of the country where you're seeing this happen more than others? And the reason I ask that question is you've had some states that have recently passed legislation as it relates to minimum wage in the state and special provisions for certain kinds of employers and what they need to be providing for their employees or otherwise.
I think it's pretty broad-based. You're seeing, I mean, The things where you're seeing where it's hurting the most is, for example, transportation and warehousing lost 18,000 jobs last year, and you know places like Tennessee, for example, are going to be very hurt a lot by that because they're one of the major hubs for interstate commerce. And whereas on the other side, you know, things that added jobs were areas like healthcare, which is and a part of that is simply you know the aging of the population, and we're seeing more you know. Things for like nursing and resident care facilities, those are growing. So that's part of where that's coming from. But those are things that's, you know, that's fairly universal stuff. So I don't see a particular region of the country hurting that much. Everyone is taking it. It's obviously going to vary from state to state and with some certain regulations. I think California probably takes it even a little worse than some of the others because some of these states have very high minimum wage laws, and that sort of dissuades a lot of people. But for the most part, yeah, it's pretty much every way in the country is hurting in about the same way.
When we talk about warehousing, would distribution centers fall under that category?
I believe so, yes.
Because we keep hearing a lot about AI and the utilization of AI, and it comes up in the distribution center kind of, you know, mantra all the time of how many jobs that they can be able to replace by automation and AI, and I'm curious whether or not you think that we're beginning to see the gleanings of an AI impact.
I don't think so much in that. That's still a lot of stuff where it requires human labor to sort of move and guide stuff around. The technology for that type of replacement doesn't really exist at this point. There's a lot of investment in AI where you're seeing it is more sort of in the information technology, communications technology sectors.
There's been some talk, too, about significant reductions in white-collar jobs, you know, kind of your top-line administrative, just below C-suite, you know, level type of management positions. What are you gleaning there, if anything?
That is an area where some of this is happening, where there's a lot of sort of concern. I think the concern is a bit more heightened compared to where it is actually happening, but it is there. I mean, a lot of this investment in AI, a lot of the stuff that is being targeted ultimately is these type of white collar, as you say, C-suite jobs. But it hasn't happened quite yet. Again, the technology isn't quite as far along as people think, but some businesses are definitely looking in that direction.
Does this bring about a scenario where we're going to have to rethink, re-engineer, recalculate the way that we look at the job market with this onset of AI, to just the nature and the presentation of these jobs, it's going to be different. We're going through a transformation right now in the labor market, maybe that we hadn't seen in a long time.
All technologies like this are very sort of disruptive, and they will take things away. Now, typically what happens historically is it gets rid of the sort of lower, more drudgery area jobs. What is different with AI is that the belief is that it can take away jobs that require human creativity, stuff that was seen as previously untouchable, and that's part of the reason why there's so much anxiety relating to it. I don't actually think that's going to happen in the longer term, because AI just doesn't. People tend to overestimate what AI can actually do.
I would agree.
But the flip side of that is there are a lot of people who are investing in it in the hopes that it can do that. And that investment, they're going to try and get some return out of that investment and try and use it that way. I think what's going to happen is you'll see a lot of people trying to replace jobs with AI, and they'll start producing inferior products as a consequence, because AI functionally just isn't human. It doesn't have that level of creativity. It's basically backwards looking, so you can't really use it to replace creativity, and they'll create bad products, and they'll suffer from doing it that way.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different, good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
One of your peers at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, Ryan Young, a senior economist, says disco isn't making a comeback, but stagflation might be. I'm beginning to hear that word a little bit more often now. Your thoughts?
Yeah, Ryan is a clever guy, and he has a good insight. We are seeing a sort of similar situation where we're getting some of the worst effects of both recessions and inflation at the same time. Prices are going up, but hiring is being cut back at the same time. And that's not good. Now, we're not quite in the same throes of that yet. We need to keep looking at the stuff. But the warning signs are there. We need to get the economy to a more settled spot. We need to get past all this back and forth over the tariffs, because businesses can't plan or invest in the long run. And there's a lot of just sort of uncertainty regarding, you know, how much they can hire, where they're going to locate, that type of stuff. And even if you think ultimately, you know, you want to keep the foreign products out, we still at least need to know what the rules are, so businesses can plan around that. And that's the problem we're having right now, is nobody knows. It may change tomorrow or the next day. The Supreme Court may decide it's all going to go away. The administration may change tactics, and that's the problem.
You know, oftentimes you have to get worse before you get better sometimes, but there's an observation here by Ryan as well, that the labor market, that the manufacturing sector has contracted for 9 straight months. And that's been a top line, issue for the Trump administration, one that they've had a lot of eyes on, bringing manufacturing back domestically here to the United States. What does your sense tell you that what's going wrong? Is it all pointing towards tariffs?
That is a major part of it. I mean, the problem with it is the assumption is, well, if you have high tariffs, people will have to buy American products. Well, first off, tariffs never make anything cheaper. They just make alternatives more expensive. The other problem is those manufacturers, they sell their goods abroad. That's where a lot of their profits come from. So if we get into tariff wars and they start coming up with tit-for-tat tariffs, they can't sell their stuff to other countries. The other issue is they import a lot of raw materials from other countries, some stuff you just can't find. So also, if that stuff becomes more expensive, it becomes difficult for the manufacturers to make things, and or more expensive for them to make things. In the first Trump administration, they put in a lot of effort to try and protect the domestic steel industry. Well, but that hurt the rest of manufacturing, because they use steel in their products, and suddenly the cost of steel was more effective. So it was helping the steel workers at the expense of, you know, the car manufacturers, the construction industry, a lot of these other people that use the same sort of stuff. I mean, I hate to say it, but, you know, they don't call economics the dismal science for nothing, and helping one person can sometimes mean hurting a lot of other people.
So is it that is our economy now, because of the open market and the international flavor that you just described, of, you know, you may be getting component parts from overseas and everything else, and all of the value added that goes on here, that this whole tariff strategy is not ever going to be the same as it once was 40, 50 years ago, right? I mean, it's different. And I mean, it seems to me like we're seeing that difference, right? And we're feeling that difference.
It's easier to do in the sort of sense that the Trump administration is ideally trying to do it when the economy is smaller and, you know, the amount of trade is more discrete and you can focus on particular industries. But, you know, we're a country of 330, 40 million odd people. You know, we're incredibly diverse in terms of, you know, what we sell, what we buy, and who we sell and who we buy it to. And the more you sort of muck around with that, the more unintended consequences you're going to have. And that's just the you know, the fact of it. You know, a lot of the sort of commentary and stuff about, well, tariffs worked in this situation, that's looking back at stuff going back to like almost the pre-industrial era. The economy has changed and diversified so much since then that those type of examples just really aren't applicable to today.
I mean, I guess it would be safe to say that our economy is so much more nuanced today than it was in 1950, you know, and I read some of those same examples that you've mentioned, you know, in stuff that's being authored, and I'm like, oh, but I don't understand. I mean, the way we conduct ourselves today is vastly different than what happened. The supply chain works vastly different. Almost every component part of the economy is working different.
Right. Well, remember, for example, the controversy over the Japanese Nippon Steel buying U.S. steel. And a lot of people just sort of reacted with horror to that because it was, you know, Japan buying a U.S. company, except that what they wanted to do was keep the steel mills open and running so they can better compete with China on producing steel. They didn't want to close them down. They wanted to keep them there. But it creates such a, you know, political brouhaha that they had to come up with this sort of alternate solution where they would invest in the company and do various things with the stipulations as to part of the deal. They eventually got a deal, but it was so much more complicated than it needed to be when, you know, what the Japanese were trying to do was not shut the U.S. competition down, but keep it going and up because that benefited them. And that's sort of how these things become more complicated and more nuanced, as you say.
The Trump administration will... The president the other day somewhat doubled down on tariffs as well, right? I mean, he came out and said that they're the greatest thing ever and his intentions are to keep it going.
Trump believes, and you know, if you just parse his comments, he believes tariffs are a good thing in and of themselves. He would, even if he didn't think there was a sort of competitive need for them, he would probably propose them and try and implement them because he thinks it's just basically, you know, taxing people abroad and getting their money to come in. That's not really how it works in the real world, but that's how he sees it, and that's, you know, part of the reason why we're in this situation. He just thinks they're a good policy in and of themselves.
Yeah, I mean, the proof is in the pudding, and it hadn't proven itself just yet, has it? I mean, it seems as though we've got a disruption right now that we can't seem to get our finger on. It's almost like mercury. You know, you keep pressing and it's moving left, it's moving right, top, bottom. You can't get your hands around it.
To be fair to the administration, it hasn't exactly gone precisely the way a lot of critics, including, you know, some people on my side, predicted. A lot of us thought that inflation would be much higher as a consequence of the tariffs. But what we've seen, for example, is that a lot of the businesses are taking the cost from the tariffs out of profits, not raising prices, precisely because they don't know where the tariffs are going to settle yet or where they're going to be in the next 6 months. So they're sort of holding off on those type of price hikes because they know there'll be consumer backlash to that. So it's more complicated and more nuanced for everyone looking at it. But yeah, it hasn't gone the way the administration has expected so far.
Yeah, and if it's confounding you, think about us on the periphery. That's what I need for Christmas. Is some more information. Sean Higgins, Competitive Enterprise Institute Research Fellow, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate the time and the insight, and have a wonderful holiday season.
You guys do the same.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.